الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله إن شاء الله after the remaining dua درس القرآن will be imparted in the English language all brothers are requested to participate السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حميم والكتاب المبين إنا جعلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون وإنه في أم الكتاب لدينا لعلي حكيم أفنضرب عنكم الذكر صفحا أن كنتم قوما مسرفين وكم أرسلنا من نبي في الأولين وما يأتيهم من نبي إلا كانوا به يستهزئون فأهلكنا أشد منهم بطشا ومضى مثل الأولين ولئن سألتهم من خلق السماوات والأرض ليقولن خلقهن العزيز العليم الذي جعل لكم الأرض مهدا وجعل لكم فيها سبلا لعلكم تهتدون والذي نزل من السماء ماء بقدر فأنشرنا به بلدة ميتا كذلك تخرجون والذي خلق الأزواج كلها وجعل لكم من الفلك والأنعام ما تركبون لتستووا على ظهوره ثم تذكروا نعمة ربكم إذا استويتم عليه وتقولوا سبحان الذي سخر لنا هذا وما كنا له مقرنين وإنا إلى ربنا لمنقلبون صدق الله مولانا العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وَحْلُلْ أُقْدَةً مِّنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. The name of this surah is Surah Az-Zukhruf. And it is a Makki surah. Meaning that it was revealed when our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was residing in Makkatul Mukarrama before he migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. It consists of 7 ruku and 89 verses, 89 ayat. According to the majority of the commentators of the Qur'an, it is a Makki surah. But Imam Muqatil Rahmatullahi Alayhi mentions that one ayah, ayah number 45, وَاسْأَلْ مَنْ أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رُسُلِنَا أَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ دُونِ الرَّحْمَنِ آلِهَةً يُعْبَدُونَ. This one verse is not a Makki verse, it's a Madani verse. This is the opinion of Imam Muqatil Rahmatullahi Alayh. Otherwise, according to the majority of the commentators of the Quran, the entire surah is a Makki surah. And Allama Alusi Baghdadi Rahmatullahi Alayh mentions that some commentators of the Quran are of the opinion that this surah was revealed during the night of Mi'raj in the heavens. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went up into the heavens, the incident which is known as Mi'raj, so during that night, Surah Az-Zukhruf was revealed to our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first ayah is Hamim. And Hamim is from the Al-Huruf Al-Muqatta'at, something which we have already discussed in detail in the commentary of Surah Yasin. And the most famous opinion of the commentators of the Qur'an is that wherever in the Qur'an we find the huruf muqatta'at, then Allahu a'lamu bimuradihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best what is the meaning. So we don't try to understand what the huruf muqatta'at mean. We leave this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينِ, by the oath of the clear book, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, we have made it an Arabic Quran so that you understand it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath, a qasam. And again, regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking an oath and a qasam, this is another topic which we have discussed in detail in the commentary of Surah As-Saffat. So Allah ta'ala here takes an oath of the glorious Quran. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath, then after an oath, there is a claim. For example, a person takes an oath that wallahi, by Allah, then he will make a claim that yesterday I went here. So normally when you take an oath or a qasam, it's to try and prove something and to emphasize you take an oath. So in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath and thereafter there is a claim, then usually the item Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath of is proof for that particular claim. So over here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath of the Quran, it's an indication that the Quran, by virtue of being a miracle, is a proof in itself of its being a divine book. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينِ, by the oath of the clear book, meaning that in the Quran, the messages, the themes and the topics are very clear, easy to understand. They are not difficult. And we made it, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا, we made it an Arabic Quran. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, so that you understand it. The meaning of this is that our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to a nation who were the Arabs. They were the very first audience of the Quran. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that we didn't reveal this Quran in any other language. Because if we reveal the Quran in another language, it wouldn't have been that easy for the first audience to grasp the message of the Quran. So keeping this in mind, that the first audience are the Arabs, we reveal the Quran in their very own language so that they can very easily understand the Quran. So the Quran is a clear book. We also revealed it in the Arabic language, keeping in mind that the first audience are going to be the Arabs. And وَإِنَّهُ فِي أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ, number three, verily, in the mother book, وَإِنَّهُ فِي أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ لَدَيْنَا, with us, meaning that this Quran is preserved in اللَّوْحُ الْمَحْفُوظِ, the preserved tablet, بل هو قرآن مجيد في لوح محفوظ. The entire Quran from Surah Al-Fatiha till Surah An-Nas is preserved in al-lawh al-mahfuz, in the heavens. So the entire Quran is protected and preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La'aliyun, this Quran is Ali, is exalted. It's exalted because it is the kalam and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a principle that kalamul muluk, mulukul kalam. The words of a king, or the king of all words, the speech of a king is the king of all speeches. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king of all kings. So the glorious Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that it deserves to have the highest rank and the highest status. So it's la'ali, it's exalted, it's revered and free of fault. And hakim, it's full of wisdom. Not only one ayah, or not every ayah or every word, but rather every letter is full of wisdom. Because Allah Ta'ala is Hakim, He is the All-Wise. So when He is the All-Wise, His Kalam and His speech will also be full of wisdom. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions here that number one, the Quran is a clear book. Number two, we revealed it in the Arabic language so that it's easy to understand for the Arabs. Over here, there's one point to keep in mind. And that is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the Quran is easy to understand, then this does not mean that the entire Quran is easy to understand. Rather, the ayat and the verses of the Quran can be distributed into two categories. The first category are those ayat of the Quran which Allah Ta'ala has revealed for tazkir, for nasiha, for advice, as a reminder. These verses, any individual can read the verse, read the translation, and he can benefit from these ayat of the Quran. An ayah which reminds a person of death, it reminds a person of the hereafter. It reminds a person of why he has been sent into this world. It encourages a person to carry out good deeds. It discourages a person to refrain from evil deeds. These sort of ayat, any individual can simply read the translation, he can benefit from them, and he can make it a means of guidance for him. But there are also other verses of the Quran. There is a second category of such verses of the Quran from which a person or the ulama and the experts need to derive commands with regards to the Sharia. These verses, they are not for every individual to just ponder over and try to understand that what is Allah Ta'ala telling me in this ayah. This is only for the experts. And this requires a great amount of ilm and knowledge. Approximately 15 to 18 sciences, a person has to be an expert. And he needs to have a very close connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He needs to be very high in spirituality. Then he will be able to understand and grasp and take out what are in these verses. Now for you and I, we are not in that category. So what we have to do is we have to refer to what the experts have written under the commentary of these particular verses of the Quran to understand. We cannot ourselves try and ponder that what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trying to say here and take out our own meaning, our own explanation. They had dedicated their whole lives and they had reached such a stage where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them this deep ability to able to extract meanings from the Quran. Allama Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayh, he himself mentions that there would be times when I would ponder over a verse of the Quran, but after pondering over the verse, I would not feel completely confident that I have understood this verse the way I was supposed to. So what would he do? He says that I would leave the masjid and I would go and roll in the sand until my whole body becomes sandy. And then in this state, I would raise my hands so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at my state of humility and He feels a sense of mercy and He shows mercy upon me. And he says, I would raise my hands and then I would say that, Ya Mu'allima Adama wa Ibrahim Allimni. O the teacher of Adam and Ibrahim, you teach me the meaning of this verse of the Quran. Wa Ya Mufahima Sulaymana Fahimni. And O the one who granted Sulaiman alayhi salam a deep understanding, you grant me a deep understanding of this verse of the Quran. And he says, I would do this after referring to 100 different commentaries of the Quran. So you can understand that there's one person who simply picks up an English translation and he feels that he is able to understand the intricate rulings which are in those difficult verses of the Quran. And on the other side, you have a great scholar like Allama Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, who after studying 100 different commentaries, he would still not feel confident and he would make dua to Allah Ta'ala to grant him the correct understanding of that verse. So as far as the Quran being easy to understand, this is regarding those verses of the Quran which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has revealed for tazkir and as a reminder. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. Allah Ta'ala says, we made the Quran easy for dhikr. So one meaning of dhikr is that for advice, for nasiha. So this is one point that should be kept in mind whenever we come across such verses that the Quran is easy to understand. So anyway, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala here mentions that we made the Quran easy to understand. A simple example, so that we can understand this. That you have the ocean in front of us. In this world we have an ocean. Now the ocean is full of water. Now as far as water is concerned, one benefit of this water is that a person can take out the water and he can drink this water. He can quench his thirst. The second benefit of the water, that you take out the water and you use it to wash your clothes. A third benefit, that you take out the water and you use it for cooking. These are different benefits of water. You use the water to wash yourself. But inside the ocean, in the depths of the ocean, there are many other benefits also. There are pearls, there are jewels. Only Allah Ta'ala knows what treasures He has kept inside the ocean. Now, as far as the first benefits are concerned, which I mentioned, any human being, whether he knows how to swim or he doesn't know how to swim, he can go to the edge of the ocean, he can take out the water and he can benefit from this water. But as far as the jewels are concerned, the pearls are concerned, which are in the depths of the ocean, Only those individuals can dive into the ocean and extract these jewels who are expert swimmers. If you and I who don't know how to swim, who are not expert swimmers, think to ourselves that there's valuable pearls in the depth of the ocean, let's also dive in. Instead of extracting these valuable treasures, we'll end up drowning and we'll end up killing ourselves. In the same way, when it comes to the Quran, there are many verses and many ayat that every individual can benefit from them. But there are also those ayat in which you will have to dive into the ocean of the Quran to extract the valuable pearls. But for that, you will need to be an expert swimmer. For that, you will need the deep understanding of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh. For that, you will need the knowledge of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayh. For that, you will need the insight of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh. And for that, you will need the farsightedness of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh. If you don't have these skills and you try and dive into the ocean of the Quran and try and understand the Quran, instead of extracting pearls, you will end up drowning and you will end up killing your iman. So it's important to understand which verses offer nasiha and advice and which verses are there only for the experts to extract the rulings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this Quran is a clear book. Number two, we revealed it in Arabic because the first audience are the Arabs, so that it's easy for them to understand. Number three, it's with us in Al-Lawhul Mahfuz. It's protected there, it's preserved there. So when all of these points are mentioned with regards to the Quran, La'aliyun, number four, is an exalted book. It's revered and free of fault. And number five, it's Hakim, it's full of wisdom. When these are all the qualities of the Quran, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the non-Muslims and saying to them that why do you then not accept this Quran? Why are you finding it so difficult to believe that this is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You still are trying to accuse Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he has made up this Quran. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to the non-Muslims, to the disbelievers, that don't think that due to your stubbornness we'll get tired and tell our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stop reciting the Quran to you. Until now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he recites the Quran to you, you place your fingers in your ears. When he recites the Quran, you start making noises. You start whistling. And you start to call him a sahir, a magician. You call him a sha'ir, a poet. You call him a kahin, a fortune teller. You call him majnoon, that he's insane. So you're trying all of these different plots and schemes to try and put him off. And you probably think that a time is going to come when Allah Ta'ala will also become tired and he will think that when these people are not going to listen, then what's the point of carrying on sending wahi? Let's stop sending revelation. Or let's stop telling Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to carry on reciting the Quran to them. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says that أَفَنَضْرِبُ عَنْكُمُ الذِّكْرَ صَفْحًا أَنْ كُنْتُمْ قَوْمًا مُسْرِفِينَ. Should we take the reminder, meaning the Quran, away from you completely because you are a transgressing nation? In other words, this is not going to happen. We're not going to stop. Why are we not going to stop? Because when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam recites the verses of the Quran before the people, there are benefits to this. There are three types of people. Number one, there are the mu'mineen and the believers who have already accepted that this is the Quran. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will recite the Quran to the believers, then they will definitely benefit. They will benefit from whatever message there is in that verse of the Quran. When the Quran is recited, it will have an effect on their hearts. Their hearts will be softened. The inclination towards the Akhirah and the hereafter will increase. The inclination towards this world will decrease. The connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase. So there's great benefit when the Quran is recited and the believers are recited or are listening. Second category are the disbelievers. But those disbelievers whose hearts are still fertile. So when the Quran will be recited in their presence, sooner or later, the Quran will penetrate their hearts and they will also accept Iman. So we will continue reciting the Quran in front of the disbelievers also. Because there are many disbelievers whose hearts are fertile and very soon they will accept Iman. And there are the third group of people. Those disbelievers whose hearts are not fertile. They have been so stubborn, so arrogant and so proud that now Allah Ta'ala has sealed their hearts. So they're never going to accept Iman. But there's a benefit in reciting the Quran in their presence also. The benefit is that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will use this as a hujjah and a proof against them. That in the world, we recited the Quran to you multiple times. And you had multiple opportunities to accept Iman. But despite the Quran being recited to you so many times, you still did not accept Iman. So it's not our fault, it's your fault. Now you will go into Jahannam. So they will not be able to say to Allah on the day of Qiyamah that nobody recited the Quran to us, so it's not our fault we didn't accept Iman. So it will be hujjah against them. Al-Quran hujjatun laka aw alayka. Quran on the day of Qiyamah will either be a witness for you or against you. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَكَمْ أَرْسَلْنَا مِن نَبِيٍّ فِي الْأَوَّلِينَ. That numerous were the anbiya, the prophets, alayhimu salam, that we sent among the former nations. وَمَا يَأْتِيهِم مِن نَبِيٍّ إِلَّا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. They used to ridicule every nabi that came to them. In here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is consoling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, he is warning those who reject the Quran. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being consoled. That you're not the first prophet who is trying to call people towards the correct religion. And those people who you are calling towards the correct religion, instead of accepting you, they are mocking you and they are ridiculing you. Now this has been the sunnah of all the prophets. That every prophet, when he would try and call his people towards the correct path, they would have to face this. That there would always be a group who would criticize him. It wouldn't be that everybody would become his fan and his supporter. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is being consoled. And as far as the disbelievers are concerned, they are being warned that even in the past, there were many who rejected their prophets. They ridiculed their prophets. So what happened when they did this? فَأَهْلَكْنَا أَشَدَّ مِنْهُمْ بَطَشًا وَمَضَى مَثَلُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. That so we destroyed the people of the past who are much more powerful than these people. The example of the past nations past. They were more powerful than the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah. The people of Ad, Qawm Ad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding them that they themselves were so confident in how powerful and strong they were that they would say that Man ashaddu minna quwwah. That who is there in the world who is more powerful and more strong than we are? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reply and say that أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. Do they not ponder that the Allah who created them, He is most definitely going to be more powerful and more stronger than them? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed such people that were more powerful than the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah, then these individuals should think to themselves that if we reject the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and we don't accept his message, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can most definitely punish us and destroy us also. Until here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discussed the topic of Risalat and Prophethood. As has been explained many times before, that there are three fundamental topics in every surah of the Quran. Number one is Tawheed, the oneness of Allah ta'ala. Number two, Risalat, the Prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number three is Ma'ad, life after death. So here in Surah Az-Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these first initial eight ayat of the Quran, eight ayat of the surah, discuss the topic of Risalat. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves towards Tawheed, His oneness. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. There is one group of people, they don't believe in the existence of Allah at all. They don't believe in Allah. Then you have a second group, they believe in Allah, but they don't believe in the oneness of Allah. With Allah, they also believe in many other deities and gods. So the first group are kafir, disbelievers, they don't believe in Allah. Second group are mushrik, polytheists, they ascribe partners with Allah. And you have the third group, who are the muwahideen, the monotheists. We believe in one Allah. So we believe Allah exists and we believe Allah is one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again in the Quran emphasizes that Allah ta'ala exists and He is one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ. Undoubtedly, if you were to ask them, meaning the mushrikeen, those who ascribe partners with Allah, مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, who created the heavens and the earth? لَيَقُولُنَّ خَلَقَهُنَّ الْعَزِيزُ الْعَلِيمُ, they will certainly say, the mighty, the all-knowing, meaning Allah created them. So these mushrikeen, who ascribe many partners with Allah, they believe in so many different idols. Some believe in the sun, some in the moon, some in the stars. They worship all sorts. But even the mushrikeen, if you were to ask them that who created the heavens and the earth, upon this question, their reply will not be any of their other gods. Their reply will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even they believe this much. And with regards to Allah, Allah ta'ala here uses two of His qualities in which there is proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who is worthy of being the deity, the one worthy of worship. What are the two qualities? Quality number one is Almighty. And quality number two is Al-Alim. He is the one who is all-knowing. He has complete knowledge. And to be a deity, you need to have number one, complete power. And number two, you need to have complete knowledge. You have to have these two things. Otherwise, if we take the example of a father and son, the son wants to do something which he knows that his father will not approve. He wants to do something, but he knows that my father is not going to approve this act. So he will think, that my father, does he have complete power to stop me or to punish me if I was to carry out this act? If he sees that my father, he has no power whatsoever, he's bedridden, he can't even move from his bed. But this child knows that if I was to do this, although my father doesn't approve it, there's nothing he can do to stop me. So he will carry out that act. You have a second child, he knows that my father, he has complete power to stop me or to punish me if I was to carry out this action. But he doesn't have the full awareness. He doesn't know that I'm going to do this. If I was to carry out this act at 5 p.m., he's not going to be home. He'll do it also. Because he knows my father's not going to find out. To be a deity, you have to have full power also, and you have to have full knowledge also. And there is only one being who has complete power and complete knowledge, and that is Allah Ta'ala. That at any given time, at any moment, when you want to commit a sin, you know that my Allah is all-knowing. It's not that if I was to carry out this sin at midnight, Allah won't know. Whatever time of the day, whatever time of the week, whatever time of the year you carry out that action, wherever you may be, in the darkness of some, in the darkness of the night, in the wilderness of some jungle, in the depths of some ocean, you can go to a place where nobody is, but Allah Ta'ala is watching you. So He knows at all times what you are doing. And He has complete power also. He has complete power. It's not that His power is going to decrease and at a certain time He will become old or He will become weak or He will become sick, so He will not be able to punish you. So Allah Ta'ala is Aziz also, and Allah Ta'ala is Aleem also. When He is Aziz and Aleem also, both qualities, He is full, complete power and complete knowledge. He is the only one who is worthy of worship and worthy of being a deity. So خَلَقَهُنَّ الْعَزِيزُ الْعَلِيمُ. They will say, the mushrikeen will say, that who created the heavens and the earth? The mighty and the all-knowing, meaning Allah created them. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some of His favors upon mankind. Number one, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ مَهْدًا. That it is Allah who made the earth into a bedding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the earth into a bedding. So Allah ta'ala making the earth into a bedding means that just as a bedding is a restful place, when a person goes onto his bed, he feels comfort, he feels rest. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this earth such that despite it being a globe, and despite it rotating at approximately 1,000 miles, the earth, it rotates approximately 1,000 miles an hour depending on where you are in the world. If you are closer to the equator, it's approximately just over 1,000 miles an hour. So this is how fast the earth is rotating. But despite of that, anywhere you go on land, you can sit there and you will feel at peace. Just imagine if you were sitting in a car and it was traveling 1,000 miles an hour. There's no way you would be able to sit with peace. You would be moving so fast, you would be able to feel the movement. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have made this earth a place where you can sit, you can lie down. A tired person could lie down on the earth where there's no bedding and he could fall asleep. So who has done this? This is also a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ بَهْدًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ فِيهَا سُبُلًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He made pathways, meaning roads on it for you. So many pathways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made. Again, if there were no paths, no roads, how would we travel from one place to another? But this is the blessing of Allah Ta'ala. And then it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who inspired man to travel. If Allah Ta'ala didn't give man the courage and every person just remained in his home, then we would never have been able to know these new routes and these new roads which lead us to different towns, cities and countries. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave man such courage and inspired man to this extent that we managed to make routes on land also, in the oceans also, and then in the air also. So now we can travel on land by cars, by buses, by coaches, by van, by train. And we travel in the water also, in our ships and boats. And we travel in the air also via aeroplanes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has made all of these paths and all of these roads. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ So that you may be guided. So that you may be guided. This has two meanings to it. There are two commentaries to this. One is, so that you may be guided, meaning you may be guided in your journey. So Allah Ta'ala made you a path so that you can use this path, and through this path you can be guided to your destination. And a second meaning, so that you may be guided, is that so that you may be guided to the correct path, meaning you are guided to believing in Allah Ta'ala. How? That you ponder over this blessing of Allah also. That it's only Allah who could have made these roads for us. So when Allah Ta'ala has done this, then you will be guided to this fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. So that you may be guided. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ And وَالَّذِي نَزَّلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً بِقَدْرٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is Allah who sends rain from the sky in measure, meaning as and when needed. So as far as the rain is concerned, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished, Allah ta'ala could have set a time that every day in the morning for 1 hour, I will send down rain for you. But now, if you only got rain for 1 hour in the morning and you overslept, then you would have no water for that particular day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have made the system of rain such that He would send down the rain in big, big reservoirs. Once a year. But what would have happened? If this would have happened, then these reservoirs containing the water after some time would have gone off. It would have become stale. If Allah Ta'ala sent down rain daily, then every day would have been a rainy day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't do any of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we send down the water from the sky in measure. We know when to send down rain, how much to send down. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the rain. Some of this water goes into the oceans, some into the rivers, some into the reservoirs. And some water Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps on the top of the mountain, where this water on top of the mountain is frozen. This is a natural freezer, where the water becomes ice. And then in the hot months, in the summer months, in those hot countries when it doesn't rain, now they are in need of rain, or they are in need of water. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the ice melt due to the sun, and this water now comes down from the mountains, and the people in these countries are able to benefit from this water also. So this is another great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala says, وَالَّذِي نَزَّلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً بِقَدْرٍ That Allah sends rain from the sky in measure, as and when needed. فَأَنْشَرْنَا بِهِ بَلْدَةً مَيْتًا With this rain, we revive dead ground. With this rain, we revive dead ground. So again, if you look in a hot country, you will be able to understand this. That in the summer month, when it's extremely hot and it hasn't rained for many weeks, when you look at the ground and the land, it's completely brown and completely hard. And it seems as though the land is completely dead now. Nothing is ever going to grow here. But as soon as it says, Allah Ta'ala sends down the rain, within a few days, vegetation begins to grow. Crops begin to grow. It becomes extremely green. So Allah Ta'ala says that we send down rain, and as soon as we send down rain, that land which looked completely dead to you, within moments it's given life, and you see that life, and you see things begin to grow. And after mentioning this favor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now makes us realize that there is also going to be another reviving of the dead, which is going to be us. We are going to be revived. So Allah Ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ تُخْرَجُونَ. In this similar manner, just as we revive the dead ground, will you all be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah? Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu has mentioned a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that when a person passes away, then after passing away, when he is buried inside the ground, then his entire body will decompose. Yes, there are certain individuals whose bodies remain intact. For example, in one narration we find that individual who had connected himself to the Quran and the teachings of the Quran. He was a sahibul Quran. He was somebody who was a companion of the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that when such a person is buried inside the grave, then awhallahu ila al-ard, Allah Ta'ala inspires that part of the land. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to that land that la ta'kuli lahmahu, do not consume the flesh of this person. So that land very respectfully says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that kayfa akulu lahmahu wa kalamuka fi jawfihi, that how can I consume his flesh when your Quran is present in his heart? So this could also be a virtue for a hafiz of the Quran. But obviously that hafiz of the Quran who, after preserving the Quran in his heart, he also lived his life in accordance to the teachings of the Quran. So when he is buried in the grave, the grave will not consume his body. Even after hundreds of years, if the grave was to be dug, that person's body will be as fresh as it was the day it was buried. And there are incidents like this. There are incidents like this where, after many, many years, due to certain reasons, graves had to be dug open. And when these graves were dug open, the people witnessed themselves that the body was completely fresh. And the coffin was completely fresh, as if the person has just been buried a few seconds ago. Likewise, for the shuhada and the martyrs, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ إِنَّ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. That the martyrs, you should not think that the martyrs have passed away. Rather, they are by Allah, and Allah Ta'ala is giving them rizq and sustenance. So certain individuals, their bodies remain intact even in the grave. But normally, a person's entire body decomposes after he is buried. And a time comes when only one bone, which is known as the coccyx bone, which is the last part of the spine, which is like a round circle, like a seed, this coccyx bone remains. So the whole body will decompose, but that will remain. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith, that the whole body will decompose except for this coccyx bone. And thereafter, on the day of Qiyamah, when Israfil alayhi salatu wassalam will blow the trumpet on the second occasion. So on the first occasion when Israfil alayhi salam will blow the trumpet, that's when Qiyamah will take place. Everything will be destroyed. When Israfil alayhi salam will blow the trumpet on the second occasion, when he will blow the trumpet, this trumpet will contain within it the souls of every single human being. Right from Adam alayhi salam until the last human being, all of the souls will be present inside this trumpet of Israfil alayhi salam. You can understand how big that trumpet will be. Allah Ta'ala will command him to blow the trumpet. When he will blow the trumpet, every soul will come out of the trumpet and will find the person to whom this soul belonged to. So my soul will come into me, your soul will come into you. Like this, every person's soul will come into them. When the soul will come into this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it rain. And when it will rain, then this coccyx bone, which was the seed, this the soul will go into it, it will rain, and every single human being will stand up on the day of Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is giving this example that وَالَّذِي نَزَّلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً بِقَدَرٍ فَأَنْشَرْنَا بِهِ بَلْدَةً مَيْتًا كَذَلِكَ تُخْرَجُونَ. That it is Allah who sends rain from the sky in measure. With this rain we revive dead ground. In this manner will you all be resurrected also. Meaning just as in the world, you place the seed in the ground, the rain comes down, and once the rain comes down, then the plant grows. In the same way, on the day of Qiyamah, the coccyx bone will already be there, that's the seed. Now Allah Ta'ala will send down the rain. When Allah Ta'ala will send down the rain, then all the human beings will stand up on the day of Qiyamah. And these dead people will be revived, just as the dead land is also revived when it rains. So, كَذَلِكَ تُخْرَجُونَ. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجَ كُلَّهَا. That it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created al-azwaj. So al-azwaj, one meaning is that all types of his creation. Sayyid ibn Jubayr rahmatullahi alayhi says that al-azwaj means al-asnaf kullaha. So Allah ta'ala created all types of his creations, meaning everything that you see has been created by Allah ta'ala. And a second commentary is that al-azwaj means pairs. So the different pairs, for example, you have winter and summer. This is a pair. So Allah Ta'ala is the one who has created winter and summer. Allah Ta'ala is the one who has created the night and day. The as-samawat wal-ard, the heavens and the earth. Ash-shams wal-qamar, the sun and the moon. Al-jannah wal-nar, paradise and hell. Dhakar wal-untha, male and female. And some commentators say that those things which continue to change inside the human being, meaning khayr and shar, sometimes you are inclined towards good, sometimes you are inclined towards evil. Allah Ta'ala has created goodness and evil. Iman and kufr. So iman and disbelief, Allah Ta'ala has created them both. Nafa' wa dar, benefit and harm. This Allah Ta'ala has created. Faqr and ghina, poverty and wealth, Allah Ta'ala has created. So all of these different pairs which we find, it's Allah Ta'ala who has created everything. وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجَ كُلَّهَا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ مِنَ الْفُلْكِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ مَا تَرْكَبُونَ. And it is Allah who has made ships and animals which you ride. Ships and animals. If we ponder over the different modes of transport, then we will find that there are two types of transport. One are those modes of transport which we use on the land, and thereafter the second mode of transport are those which we use in the water. So by using al-fulk, the ship, Allah Ta'ala has referred to all those modes of transport which are used in water. And by saying an'am, the animals, Allah Ta'ala has referred to all those modes of transport which we use on land. And some commentators of the Quran have mentioned that there are two types of transport. One are those which Allah Ta'ala himself has created. The natural modes of transport, the natural means of conveyance, meaning the animals. A person travels on a horse, on a camel, these are natural. And you have a second type of mode of transport which the human being has made. So all our modes of transport now is what humans have made, like cars, buses, trains, aeroplanes. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that those modes of transport which are natural, like animals, or those modes of transport which the human has made, in reality Allah Ta'ala is the one who has made everything. Now a question may arise, that as far as the animals are concerned, we know Allah Ta'ala has made them. We have no interference in that. There's no way that a human makes an animal. So that's natural, we know. But what about the modes of transport that we humans are making with our own hands, with our own intellect, after our own hard work? Allah Ta'ala is saying He has made those also. The answer is, that if Allah Ta'ala did not give you the intellect, how would you have made it? If Allah Ta'ala did not give you these hands, how would you have made it? If Allah Ta'ala did not create you in the first place, how would you have made it? So in reality, it's Allah who has made this. And when you make these modes of transport, you are only able to make them after pondering over something else which Allah Ta'ala has created. For example, the first individuals to make the ship, they made the ship after pondering over how the fish swims in the ocean. So they first pondered that how is a fish able to travel in the ocean, and keeping this in mind, then they were able to make the boats and the ships. Likewise, when they made the aeroplane, they pondered over the bird, how Allah Ta'ala has created the bird and how the bird flies in the air with its two wings, with its beak in front. This is why when you look at the aeroplane, you see that it's the same shape as a bird. So they pondered over how a bird flies in the air, and thereafter they made the aeroplane. So Allah Ta'ala in reality is the one who has created and made all the modes of transport. So this is also a favor from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So all of these favors which Allah Ta'ala has mentioned here, by mentioning them, number one, we can understand the greatness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, so that we believe in Him and we believe that He is the only one who is worthy of worship. And number two, we ponder that these are the favors of Allah so that we can be grateful to Him. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says that وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجَ كُلَّهَا وَجَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ الْفُلْكِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ مَا تَرْكَبُونَ لِتَسْتَوُوا عَلَىٰ ظُهُورِهِ, that you may be seated on their backs. You may mount on these animals, or you may sit in these different modes of transport. ثُمَّ تَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ رَبِّكُمْ, and then recall the bounty of your Rabb. So when you sit in your car, you don't drive around and be proud and be arrogant that look at my car, look at my ride. No, at that time you should remember that who has given you this car. Whatever mode of transport you're in, as soon as you sit in, you have to remind yourself that this mode of transport, I've only got this because Allah has given it to me. So you don't belittle others, you don't look down upon others, you don't think, look at him, he doesn't even have a car and I've got a car. No, you've got a car because Allah has given you the car. So ثُمَّ تَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ رَبِّكُمْ, you remember the blessing of your Rabb. إِذَا اسْتَوَيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ, when you mount and say, وَتَقُولُ, and say, what should you say? سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. So the intention was to complete the lesson, but our time is up. And there are some points I wanted to mention in light of this dua, as well as with regards to what we should do when we travel. So inshallah, in next week's lesson, we will discuss this. For today, we'll just mention this one point, that when we do travel, when we sit in the car, or any other mode of transport, then we should recite, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. Inshallah, I will explain this ayah as well as the other points regarding traveling in next week's lesson. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us all the ability to understand what has been mentioned in today's lesson. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to practice upon what has been said. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. Hayya 'alas-salah, hayya 'alas-salah. علي الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله